Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, The Destiny of Humanity. There were three judges that ruled Israel during the 25 years prior to Samson. Yet the people returned to paganism, and God wanted to do something special for his disobedient and rebellious people. That is why Jesus personally appeared to Samson's parents before he was conceived, to inform them that their son would be a Nazarite and that he would free his people from the Philistines. His parents didn't know it then, but Samson would also be gifted with supernatural strength that would allow him to single-handedly prevail against 1,000 Philistine soldiers and carry off the city gate of Gaza upon his shoulders. Samson abstained from alcohol, but his weakness for heathen women would be his downfall and eventually lead to his death. He wasted his life by satisfying his sexual desires with various women and acting like a fool. This message is entitled, A Human Tragedy. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today, we're going to be talking about Samson. And I titled this, A Human Tragedy. You know, at the end of each sermon outline, we have this statement saying this. Remember, it is not important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. Samson, as you can look upon him in a few moments, had Jesus himself, because the angel of the Lord is a name for Jesus in the Old Testament, to come down to prepare his birth and to tell them what he was going to do. Now, that's exciting, isn't it? You would think that a man, when he was born, he's told by his mom, hey, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, came down. He's prepared this. The power and everything else you have is from him. Get excited, boy. Well, he got excited, but sometimes in the wrong direction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for helping me, Lord, to get in order, to pull this sermon out, Father God, and to give the message in such a way that people can understand it, learn from it, and that we can rise over our circumstances. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me have you turn to Judges chapter 12. And we're going to look upon a period in the life here of Israel. 25-year period. 25 years. During this 25 years, and by the way, the promised land was a land of milk and honey. But the people of Israel never really got to enjoy the land. They struggled, and they never really had a chance to enjoy the land. So many of us have been saved, born again. We enter into the promised land that God has for us. And so many of us are not able to clear the promised land and to get the fruit and all the things that God has for us. We live on crumbs, which is sad. In Judges 12, 8 through 10, we read the following. And after him, Ibsan of Bethlehem judged Israel. And he had 30 sons, 30 daughters, whom he sent abroad and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. Then died Ibsen and was buried at Bethlehem. That's a very short biography. Extremely short. Now, why did God record that Ibsen had 30 sons and 30 daughters? That's 60 children. You don't have 60 children with one wife. God simply here again gave us a knowledge that here was a man that had more than one wife. And you will have a map that we have with a sermon. And if you look upon, now he was from Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is located a bit south, east of Jerusalem. And so this man lived in Judah. And he judged Israel for a few years, 7 years. And he's gone into history. The next judge we had was Elon. He was in the tribe of Zebulun. And if you look upon your map, Zebulun is located in northern Israel. You have the Lake of Galilee on the right side. And it's between Galilee and the coast, halfway. That's Zebulun. And let's read from verses 11 and 12 about Elon. And after him, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel. He judged Israel 10 years. And Elon, the Zebulunite, died, was buried in Ajalon, in the country of Zebulun. Short biography. He lived, he died, they buried him. Apparently, he did not have a lot of women. He didn't record that. The next one is Abdon, verses 13 to 15. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Perathite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews. They rode on 70 ass colts, and he judged Israel 8 years. And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Perathonite, died and was buried in Perathon, that's a city. You have that on the map. In the land of Ephraim, in the mount of the Amalekites. Now, this man apparently had more than one wife. He was a tribe of Ephraim. And if you look upon a map, Ephraim is located just north of Judah. And Ephraim is today known as Samaria. That became Samaria. So, 25 years, and we don't have a whole lot of information. But if you look now in Judges 13:1, we read this. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them to the hand of the Philistines 40 years. These three judges must not have been doing a too good job. Because when they died, Israel was again back in paganism, worse than ever before. They had not learned nothing. And again, God abandoned them. He let the Philistine come in. And they were again under judgment and pain. There was no spiritual leader at all. Now, this time, God moved differently, and actually Jesus moved differently. And I've been trying to figure out how God thinks, and I learned this. I always fail. I just can't figure it out. But I'm sure that Jesus wanted a change in Israel. So he said this, I'm going to come down myself, and your Lord. And I'm going to have a supernatural birth. I'm going to select a woman that has been married for a long time, cannot have children, and I'm going to have her bring forth a son. That's a statement in itself. A barren woman suddenly have a child. Let's read from verses 2 and 5. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites. And if you look up on the map now, Dan is in the very north, a little sliver between Manasseh and Zebulun. So they didn't have a whole lot of land. So now, Jesus goes up to the northern part, to the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and they bare not. For God, nothing is impossible. An angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, you are barren, and bearest not, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Sound familiar? Talking to Mary? The angel Gabriel talking to Mary? Now therefore beware, I pray you, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, eat not any unclean thing. For lo, you shall conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God for the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, I wrote down here, a Nazarite, you have that in your outline here. A Nazarite means you were consecrated, you could not drink alcohol, you could not cut your hair, and you had to be ritually clean, you could not touch dead animal. This is a Nazarite, and this is what Samson was. Now, you can imagine this woman. We've had now 25 years of three judges. They were heavy into paganism. And in those days, they didn't have a Bible. They had the first books of Moses, the five books of Moses. And they had Joshua. Judges had not been written yet. But they didn't read the Word of God. So this woman simply, well, I'm going to get pregnant. Here's an angel. I got to go and tell my husband. Verse 6. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God. Now, she thought this was a man of God. Came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not what he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, nor drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God, from the womb to the day of his death. Now, Manoah simply looked at his wife and said, Well, she hasn't been drinking. She hasn't been nutty. She must have had a vision. So what did he do? He decided to pray. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which you did send, come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. He now said, it's the man of God. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman, and she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband. He said to him, Behold, the man has appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose, went after his wife, came to the man and said to him, Are you the man that spake unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let your words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord, Jesus, said to Manoah, Of all that I said to the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that comes out of wine, neither let her drink any strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray you, let us detain you, until we should have made ready a kid for you. And then the Lord said to Manoah, Do you detain me? I will not eat of your bread. And if you will offer a burnt offering, you may offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is your name? What you say came to pass, we may do your honor. And the angel of the Lord said to him, Why do you ask after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, offered upon a rock of the Lord, unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, for the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did not more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. What an introduction to a pregnancy for a woman. What an introduction for the man to be the father of the son. They were changed. They were no longer into paganism. But listen to what his wife said. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not receive the burnt offering and the meat offering in our hands. Neither would have showed us all the things, nor would as his time have told us things as these. She simply said, God is not going to hurt us. And the woman bare a son and called name Samson. Now, I want you to catch this now. It's one thing to have a revelation. It's one thing to see an angel, to see Jesus. And he tells you this is going to happen. But you know what? Manoah and his wife had to have some sex. They could not sit in the two chairs rocking back and forth and saying, Okay, get pregnant. They had to do their part. And this is what I want to understand. God will do the impossible, and you and I have to do the possible. Just like this ministry. We proclaim it. We work it. We have to do our part. And then God does the impossible. And the woman bare a son, called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at times in the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, what an introduction to his life. So let's look upon now Samson and the early years. And we're going to read the first four verses here. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I see the woman of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father's mother said to him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of your brethren, among all my people, that you go to take a wife for the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and mother knew not that it was the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. God never goes against his own word. But God allows us to do things. And it's called God's permissive will. God's permissive will. I want to turn right now to Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to pick it up, the first four verses. When the Lord your God shall bring you to the land when you go to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and utterly destroy them. You shall not make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter shall you not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall you take unto your son. For they would turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. Now, that law that God gave Moses to give to the people still stands today. A Christian cannot marry an unbeliever. We need to talk about race now. We talk about faith. And there have been many people that I've met over the years that dated an unbeliever. To date an unbeliever is deadly because you cannot marry an unbeliever. I had women say to me, well, you know, I'm going to convert him to Christ. So the man said, I'm going to convert him to Christ. Maybe, maybe not. You don't know. But God said, do not marry an unbeliever. Period. No buts or ifs. Now, Samson simply wanted this woman. And he got her. But you know what? There was no blessings. I mean, there was no blessing. He got, you know, they had weddings there that lasted 7 days. He got about 7 days, more or less, of sex with his wife. That's about all he got out of it. It was a mess. Now, if you read on there, we can now go to Judges 14, and we'll read now verses 5 and 6. Then went Samson down and his father's mother to Timnath, came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He rent him as he would have rent a kid, had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father's mother what he had done. Just one thing, day's work, you know. Got a lion, rip him apart, no big deal. Samson was a strong man. He was anointed. And he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. Let me tell you this. If you're a man or you're a woman, you will or have been taken down by sex. This is the most common thing on earth. Drugs, sex, and rock and roll, if I can use that term. Young people attracted to one another. We got bad teaching in our public schools. And Samson now did not say, Lord, since I had such a fantastic birth, but you came down yourself, can you show me the perfect wife that you want me to have. You know what? Jesus would have simply said, Samson, I got just the woman for you. She loves me. She prays. She will support you. And you'll be a great team together. Did Samson ask God? No. He simply looked. Wow, that looks good. Talked to her. Yeah, that's what I want. God, don't worry about it. I'll take care of this. This is my own thing. And then we read this here in verse number 8. And after a time, we returned to take her. That was to have the wedding. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And Nazarite was not to touch dead bodies. When we sin, demons come in. They have a legal right. Verse 9. And he took them off of his hands, went on eating, came to his father and mother, gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them they had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. He contaminated himself. He compromised himself. And when you compromise yourself, you open a door wide open for the enemy to come in. And to those of you that have been around, made some bad decisions, you remember the steps that were taken. It was a slippery slope. You went from looking at somebody, getting some drinks, doing some things, and then one day you found yourself in bed, and you wondered, how did I get here? Simple. Slippery slope. One step at a time. We are fools. Demons, evil spirits, Satan, fallen angels have been around with us for 7,000 years. You and our rookies, we are born and we are coming up against evil spirits that have experienced for 7,000 years how to take down people. They can read our mind. They can play our emotions. They make us like clay in the hands. And our only strength is Jesus. Turning to God, speaking the word, and simply saying this, I do not have to sin. So his father and mother went down to the woman, verse 10, and Samson made her a feast, and so used the young man to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. So he had 30 Philistines at his wedding. And Samson to them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it, then you give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And he said to him, put forth your riddle that we may hear it. Now, that was a lot of money behind that. It would be like you are simply saying, you know, you give me $100,000. They took him up on it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness, and they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, now these are the Philistines talking to the Philistine woman, entice your husband that he may declare unto us a riddle, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire, have you called us to take that we have? Is it not so? Now, it went sour. The 7 days of wedding went sour. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, you dost but hate me and lovest me not. yet put forth a riddle to tell on my people, have not told to me. And you said to her, behold, I have not told to my father and mother, and shall I tell you? And she wept before him the 7 days, where the feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told him the riddle to the children of her people. His first betrayal. So, he had not understood. You don't trust a woman or a man that is not saved. And the men of the city said to him on the 7th day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than lion? And he said unto them, if you're not plowed with my heifer, you're not found in my riddle. In other words, if you will not have pressured my wife, you will have never known. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them, took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. He didn't pay them off. He went down to the city of Ascalon, simply slew 30 men, took all of what they had, brought it out, and paid off the guys that he had made a bet with. What a way to start out your ministry. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. So he lost his wife. Nothing worked out. Well, you and I are in sin. When we are breaking God's commandments, nothing will work out. It'll be a disaster. But it came to pass, I'm in chapter 15 now, when a while after the time of the harvest, the Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But the father would not suffer him to go in. And the father said, I verily thought that you had utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to your companion. Is not a younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray you, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, took firebrands and turned tail to tail, with a firebrand in the midst between the 2 tails. When he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. He burned down their crops in the whole area. Now, was this story here, let me just read, did that do anything to the people of Israel to turn from paganism to the worship of God? The answer is no. Samson now used his own power, his own things, for his own personal purposes. And this is what's happening in many churches today. That you have pastors, you have elders, and others. And they use the ministry to line their own pockets, to build fantastic buildings, to have their own private jets, to fly around, to live a life of such a luxury that you and I could not even think about it. Well, the Philistines now were on a warpath. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And he answered, Samson, the son-in-law of Timnath, because you have taken his wife, given her to her companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Now, this woman that happened to marry this loser, Samson, lost her life. She and her father were burnt alive in the house. Another tragedy. And Samson said to them, though you have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. He said, now I'm going to take revenge. And he smote them hip and thigh in a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt on the top of the rock of Etam. He killed a whole bunch of them. He said, now, I got my revenge. He said, down on the top of rock to see what's going to happen next. You know what? You can't pacify the devil. He's going to come back. Then the Philistines went up, pitched in Judah, and spread themselves in Lehi. Now, they went to Judah. If you look upon your map now, Judah is in the southern part of Israel. The Philistines did not go up to Dan. They went to Judah. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And he answered, to bind Samson, or to come up, to do to him as he has done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam, and said to Samson, knowest you not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that you have done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did to me, so I have done unto them. 3,000 men now, 3,000 soldiers, traveled all the way from Judah. It must have taken them at least a week, traveled all the way up to Dan, found Samson on the rock. Now, instead of saying, Samson, let's go and clean out the Philistines, they simply said this, don't you know that the Philistines rule over us? And if we pay taxes and we do what they want, we can live, you know, somewhat nicely. You're rocking the boat. We don't want to mess with the Philistines. And he said to him, we have come down to bind you that we may deliver you to the hand of the Philistines. And sent unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake to him, saying, no, but we will bind you fast, deliver you to the hands, but surely we will not kill you. And they bound him with 2 new cords and brought him up from the rock. When he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arm became as flax that were burnt with fire. And his band loosed from his hands. And he found a new jawbone as of an ass, put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with a jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called the place Ramaliah. Now, God is not a respecter of persons. He does not repent of the gifts. Samson now was out of control. Jesus must have realized that Samson is never going to be the man I want him to be. And he simply let him go. He had another miracle. In verses 18 and 19, I'm not going to read them. There was a spring that came up because he was thirsty. And then in verse number 20, we read this. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Now, after 20 years being a judge, let me say this to you. There was a child sting done in, I believe in Georgia. If I remember right, it was in Atlanta. And it was Georgia police, the FBI had gone together, and they were rolling up a child pornography ring. And one of the men that got caught was a colonel in the Georgia National Guard, in the Air Force. And he had got hooked up on the internet. He was riding back and forth to someone he thought was a 40-year-old girl. And so the FBI agent, which was a woman, tried to discourage him from coming to meet her. He insisted. She gave him a way to repent. But he didn't take it. He's about 45 years old, good-looking man. He came to the hotel, checked in, went to the room, and of course was arrested. And as far as his career is concerned, he lost it. He lost his family. He lost his reputation. He's a child molester. People do not take advice. My job is to preach the word, to share with you. Please follow God's laws. You want to be blessed? Do what he told you. Not to be saved, but because you're saved. If you do that, God will bless you. What do people do? I'll do it maybe. And then I've been 50 years in the ministry. And I picked up the pieces of people for 50 years. When they come and they say, you know, I should have listened to you. Yeah, you should have. I didn't listen to you. I know that. Now you're in a mess. I don't tell them. I told you so. They know it. Why is it that we as human beings cannot learn? If it rains, go inside. Or you get wet. Somebody had to take you by the hand and say, hey, it's raining. You're getting wet. Let's go inside. Chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw their harlot and went into her. Now, once you start seeing prostitutes, whores, you're done. He was told to the Gazarites, saying, send them hither. They compassed him in and laid wait for him all night at the gate in the city, which were quiet at the night, or saying, in the morning or the day we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, he had sex till midnight, arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts that went with him, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. He was strong. This gate must have weighed at least a ton. This man was strong. Supernaturally strong. The power was still in him. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman. Let's say he lusted after a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the name Delilah is infamous. Very few people name their daughters Delilah, unless they are not read the Bible. And the lords of the Philistines came upon him and said unto him, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lies, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give you, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. A lot of money. And that woman, that whore, Delilah, she said, yeah, I like the money. I like the money. Whores like money. And she simply said, I'll do it. And then we read this story here that she asked him, you know, where's your strength? And he told her a lie time and time again. And then we come down here to verse number 13. And Delilah said to Samson, here do you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me where you might be bound. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with a web. She did that. It didn't work. Now she comes back here, verse number 15. And she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Do you have mocked me these 3 times? And then told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, that his soul was vexed unto death. You see, you cannot pacify sin. If it's a man or woman, whatever it is, if it is alcohol, drugs, greed, as long as you are holding on to it, it's going to suck you in. It's going to drag you down. And finally, this sex-crazed Samson decided to tell this woman his secret. And when Delilah saw he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines, saying, "Come up at once, for he showed me all his heart." Then the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money to hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. She was probably half naked. She got him sleeping like a dog. And he thought, man, this is nice. And then she had a guy come in, cut his locks off, shaved him. And then she said, "Hey, Samson, wake up! The Philistines are here." He woke up. He thought, man, I'll take care of this. He got to the Philistines. He found out, my strength is gone. What a regret. Now, they were cruel. In those days, they would have a hot iron that they would simply put on the fire to the red hot. And they would take that and burn the eyeball out. Put it back in the fire again. Then burn the other eyeball out. That was painful. More than painful. And here was Samson, blind, no power, bound like an ox, taken to a prison house, fastened to a handle, and walked around and around and around to grind and grinded their wheat and corn. We come down here now to the end of this here, and I want to read from verse number 22. "Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistine gathered together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon." I talked about him last week, fish god, their god, to rejoice. "For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." No, Satan did, which is the god of Dagon. "And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson, that they may make a sport. And they called Samson out of the prison house. He made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. They wanted to show his body off and do some thanks. And Samson said to the lad that held by his hand, suffer me that I might feel the pillars whereupon the house stands, that I might lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport to entertain them. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray you. Strengthen me, I pray you. Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the middle pillars upon which the house stood on, which was borne up. And one with his right hand, the other with his left. And Samson had let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead were slow in his death, were more than they which he slew with when he was alive. 20 years, judge, ended up blind, mocked, and he died. He took a lot of Philistines. Let me ask you this. Did it change Israel? Did people come to God? Did they get rid of their paganism? No. Every act that Samson did, He displayed the power God had given him. But it did the people of Israel no good whatsoever. Turn to Mark chapter 8. If you pick it up in verse number 36 to 37. For what should it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to ask you that are here in the chapel today and those of you that are watching. What are you doing with your life? Some of you are doing fine. But many of you have not come into the fullness what God wants you. Some of you are using the power that you have in prayer to do things for yourself, maybe for your family. But what have you done that will change this nation, America? You're not living in another country. What have you done to change the people in your country? Have you made any impact? This is really what we want to do. We want to have an impact upon the nation. Right now, the world government has given orders to destroy the economy in America. The Federal Reserve Board, which is a private corporation, they control our interest rates. They are raising the rates higher and higher. It kills the economy. Why do they want to do that? Because the reason the people voted Trump in was to turn things around. 2 years from now, if our economy is in the toilet, Trump will have a hard time to get reelected. And they would simply say, mission accomplished. Look at what the stock market. It lost 2%, 2% and so on. Do you know why it did? Because the big boys, remember this now, the big boys sold out in mass, just like Rothschilds did 300 years ago in London, actually 200 years in London, and destroyed the market there. They can afford to lose $10 billion. To them, it's peanuts. But they drag all the small investors with them. And they do it over the purpose to destroy the enemy, to destroy the economy, to make sure that Donald Trump is not reelected, that they get a Democrat in, that they can get the New World Order, the global thing. What can you and I do? Number one, we need to line up our life with the Word of God. If you want to have power in prayer, you got to live a clean life. We got power to pray. We can pray, we can fast and say, God, turn that around. Turn that around. Stop it, Lord, stop it. If we pray, if we can get 500 people to pray, we can turn it around. But how many pastors today are talking about this and trying to challenge their people? Very, very few. I'm going to hand this to Jim Baker. Now, I don't agree with everything Jim Baker does. Here's a lot of stuff that I don't think is good. But he is trying to rally people to pray for the president, to pray for the government, to pray that things will go right, to pray down the enemy. He's taking a lot of flack for it. So, as we close this message, I only used up all my time. Here's what we want to learn from this. Samson was a great guy. Lots of power. But you know what? He was a whoremonger. Didn't amount to nothing. Didn't change anything. I'm going to read one verse. Judges 16. 31. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up, buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. You know what verse 31 reminds me of? The funeral for George H.W. Bush. The whole nation, every network, emptied out. And we saw the train ride, and we saw this and that, and all the other garbage of a man that was a fake. He did everything he should have done. A man devoted to skull and bones, that sold his soul to the devil when he was a young man. Disciple of Samson. Today, I don't know if Samson is in heaven or in hell. I don't know. But I do know he's alive. And I know that he's kicking himself back and forth and saying, you know, I was the most stupid man on earth. Jesus, the Creator, came down, heralded my birth, gave me power, took my mother and made her pregnant, which he couldn't get pregnant. What a start I had. And I blew it all on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's not what people do today. So I'm going to challenge you today to be close. If you're not saved, this is the day to get saved. If you watch me today, listen, whatever time it is, will you simply say, God, I'm sorry. I made a mess of my life. I need to be saved. God, forgive me. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross. I believe that Jesus paid my sins. Forgive me, Lord. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And he will. And then, in a few minutes, when we are done here, Pastor Charles Terrell is going to come. He's going to spend about 8 minutes with you and show you the scriptures, lead you in a final prayer, and make sure that you're saved today. Please take the opportunity right now. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, are right where you should be, start praising God and pray for the rest of the people that are struggling. And those of you that are struggling, make up your mind. It's raining. I'm going to get inside. Repent. Change. And let God repair your life. I love you. That's what I preach hard at you. And I hope that you will take heed and receive the joy of the Lord when you repent. In Jesus' name. Here's Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for the word today. Another fantastic dialogue on what took place and what's still taking place today. It just keeps on going. And help us to be some of that remnant that doesn't get caught up in that same circle, Lord. And we thank you for our many blessings, Lord. And we're coming down to the end of the year with so much, I mean, I don't even really see it or pay attention to it, but there's a lot of hype for Christmas. I was able to separate from that many years ago, so I really don't feel the impact of it like some people do. But I thank you for releasing me from that bondage many years ago. And I want to say thank you for a good year. We had many trials and many struggles, and it always continues. It's never easy. And I have to remind myself of the scripture. I think it's Luke 16, 20. I'm not sure, but it says, oh no, there's Matthew 6, 34, where it says, sufficient unto the day, or take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And boy, that is a mouthful. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So as we close out the year of 2018, we can say, Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And we have to keep pushing forward regardless of all that garbage. And I thank you for the knowledge to know and understand that. And pray for a lot of people that are in bondage and darkness, family members, friends, you name it, right down to the homeless guy who creeps around your property at night, that they will be able to come out of darkness and into the light. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you. but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 16th part in the series, The Destiny of Humanity, and was entitled, A Human Tragedy. There were three judges that ruled Israel during the 25 years prior to Samson. Yet the people returned to paganism, and God wanted to do something special for His disobedient and rebellious people. This is why Jesus personally appeared to Samson's parents before he was conceived. Samson would be a Nazarite and free his people from the Philistines. His parents didn't know it then, but Samson would also be gifted with supernatural strength to aid him in the task of presiding over Israel. He single-handedly prevailed against 1,000 Philistine soldiers and carried off the city gate of Gaza upon his shoulders. But his weakness for heathen women, despite God's prohibition, would be his downfall and eventually lead to his death. Jesus heralded the birth of Samson, and children grow up learning about his great strength and how he dealt with the Philistines. But instead of being a powerful man of God that led Israel back to God, Samson ended up in the arms of women that discarded him. Delilah was the last one, and she used her sexual prowess to uncover the source of his great strength. Samson entered the world as a champion for God, but he spent his life in vanity and left as a fool. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1682. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.